The following program is an encore presentation edited for broadcast at this time. Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View. I'm Barbara Little here with Bishop Michael Mulvey on this 24th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Today we will hear the Gospel of St. Luke and talk about God's mercy. Please stay with us and we'll be right back.
Quite often, we at KLUX get calls and emails asking, what's the Catholic faith all about? Or, what do Catholics believe anyway? RCIA classes are the best answer. RCIA stands for the Rite of Christian Initiation for Adults. You're welcome to attend a class at Corpus Christi Cathedral every Monday at 7 p.m. and learn what being Catholic is all about. Charles Silvis, a seminarian for the Diocese of Corpus Christi, will present the class. He'll explain all about the sacraments of the faith, Catholic traditions, prayer, worship, beliefs, morality, and more. If you've ever wanted to know what Catholics believe and why, this is the perfect opportunity. Call the cathedral office at 361-883-4213. It could well be the most important phone call you ever make.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Well, good morning, Bishop, and
morning.
How are you on this wonderful
good
Sunday morning?
Good morning, Barbara. I'm doing fine. How about you?
I'm doing wonderful also. Thank
good.
You so much. Well, we have a wonderful gospel from St. Luke, and you're going to kind of split it up a little bit and read the shorter version.
For the first part, right? And then in the second segment of our program, we'll read the very, very familiar prodigal son part of the gospel.
Wonderful, which is really a story about the father. All right, so if we could prepare our hearts and minds to hear the gospel from St. Luke.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus, but the Pharisees and the scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So to them he addressed this parable. What man among you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, would not leave the 99 in the desert and go after the lost one until he finds it? And when he does find it, he sets it on his shoulders with great joy. And upon his arrival home, he calls together his friends and neighbors and says to them, "Rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep. I tell you, in just the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who have no need of repentance. Or what woman having 10 coins and losing one would not light a lamp and sweep the house, searching carefully until she finds it? And when she does find it, she calls together her friends and neighbors and says to them, 'Rejoice with me because I have found the coin that I lost.' In just the same way, I tell you, there will be more rejoicing among the angels of God over one sinner who repents." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Bishop, when I was preparing for our session this morning, I was reading it from William Barclay, because he had the gospel, a book of the Gospel of Luke's, and he says, and I had to agree after reading this, he said that there's no chapter in the New Testament so well known and so dearly loved as the 15th chapter of Luke's gospel. It's been called the gospel within a gospel.
Right. It's because this 15th chapter does have these three parables in it, and of course they are thematically very connected to one another, and they are very beloved, and of course any of us who have been to a penance service or just spend time in meditating on the scriptures will certainly have arrived at this particular text, this 15th chapter, at one point or another.
Right.
So one of those that I know as a priest, when you're now, sometimes you're thinking, now where is that in the gospel? But this one you kind of always can find because it's so burned into our memories of how beautiful this whole gospel passage of the 15th chapter is, the passage of God's infinite mercy.
Right, and the parables themselves, with both the shepherd and the woman, they still had 99 for the sheep and 9 coins for the woman, but they were intent on finding the other one.
Right. And, you know, I think each one of them has a similarity to them, but they also are quite different, but all leading ultimately to the same. And I think if we just took the first one about the sheep, because this is something that I believe is very current in the way that we need to live Christianity today. As baptized Christians, first of all, it's just to look at the scene. You know, it was the sinners who were coming near to Jesus, the tax collectors and the sinners who were drawing near to Jesus to listen. And it was the Pharisees and scribes who were watching this whole scene and beginning to complain. There's a certain sense there of self-justification, and this is brought to our attention. Who are these people? And, you know, when we read the gospel, when we think of the ministry of Jesus and the living word that he has left us in his gospel, the way that we should approach this is spoken to us today. And how oftentimes we might have that sense of being self-justified, that I do everything right. I follow the law. And we, through that kind of attitude, as was happening here, we can easily begin to ostracize people. We can begin to create barriers. We can set us against them, which tears down any kind of trust, which does not create any kind of a relationship with these people because they are sinners and I am not, etc.
I'm perfect.
Thank you very much. Yes.
Right.
You're not invited, and don't even invite me because I'm not coming. And so there's this huge disconnect between people. And when you look at it again in the terms of the overall ministry of Jesus and his final prayer, Father, may they all be one, not some, not the just and the unjust, the sinners and the good people, but his prayer, which if he prayed for it, it is the ultimate desire that he has, that all be one. And so the ministry of the church, the work of the church, the work of all the baptized, is not to label other people as the sinners, the unorthodox, the whatever we want to call them, the radicals. We have the left and the right, and we label so much. And we have fallen into this kind of mentality that's in our society today of labeling people. And that is what creates the lack of trust, the mistrust, the lack of relationship, the elect and the unelect, the invited and the uninvited.
The good, the bad.
The good and the ugly, as they say, you know.
Right.
So these kind of things is not according to the mind of God. And that is what Jesus is showing us here. So he came and he was eating with these sinners. And because there was this complaining and because there was this finger pointing, if you want to call it that, that Jesus uses this opportunity to teach. And he did so as always, but many, many times by a parable. And an animal that you could say is very close to the heart of the people there was the sheep and the shepherds of the sheep. I'm sure you've been to the Holy Land and those who have, but I think you could probably in some ways refer to it here in South Texas. It's a rough terrain. It's not the most friendly kind of terrain as far as the steepness and the difficulties and the rocks and other dangers. It's a dangerous place out in the open, which could very well characterize our place as well. And there's difficulty in keeping the sheep together. Mm-hmm. And so this is the image that Jesus brings to them. They knew, I mean, these scribes and Pharisees and anyone else that was listening, they knew it was not easy to keep the sheep together. And so Jesus speaks of these 99. He's got 99. And sometimes let me point out, too, that they did this collectively. It was not just one shepherd. They might have the whole town gathered together and helping each other. But the 99 are there, one's left. So maybe the rest of them went into town. But this one shepherd went after to look for the lost sheep. So you can kind of then picture the others are already safely back in the town, and here comes the shepherd with the one lost, and you can just imagine the joy that is there, that this lost sheep is back in the fold.
And he puts him around his neck, doesn't he, as he comes into town.
That's the popular image. Yeah, yeah. Obviously, is the best way to carry a sheep in this context. So the shepherd also had a very personal relationship with his sheep. I mean, he was with them all day long. He probably knew them, had names for them, probably did. And so it's a very personal thing. And so already you can see that Jesus is moving this parable away from simply a rancher, a farmer, a sheep herder, to really something much more intimate. This is my sheep. This is my one lost sheep. And he would do anything, you know, to bring it back to be with the others. And this then Jesus uses as the image of God, that of all the righteous people, there will be more rejoicing in heaven, which includes God, of course, over one repentant sinner, one lost sheep, than all the 99 that really had no need to be rescued, were always there. And so it's really an out of the norm kind of an image that he brings forth, and one that certainly would be contested, that that the people may have been a little shaken by this. But I think it's also beautiful that in this sense of God's mercy, and that Jesus uses the word joy, there will be more joy in heaven over one repentant sinner, that God does not rejoice in the death of a sinner. Look at our society. We rejoice when the enemy is killed. We rejoice when, in our human sense, we think somebody deserves the death penalty. People are actually on the streets, in some cases, rejoicing. I don't see that here. And to be a true disciple, and you know, it's not easy to be a disciple, not just a follower, as we talked about a few weeks ago, but a real disciple does not rejoice over anyone's death. The most hardened sinner, whoever it is, because Jesus came and he sat with those people, he talked to them, and that's our responsibility as well.
Well, and it's a wonderful way that you brought it to our day-to-day, because so much of that is going on when we do talk about the death penalty and prisoners being executed.
Right.
It's not humane. Well, it's not God's part of God's mercy.
Exactly, and we're seeing more regimes in the world that are creating, and certainly nobody is condoning the use of chemical weapons, but still that person or those people that are doing that are known by God. They have a soul, and we need to dialogue in some way to help their conversion as well, not rejoice over their death as well. We mourn the death of so many innocent people in this world, but at the same time, we need to do everything to protect people, and that might mean, you know, locking people up so they don't harm other people, but praying for them, praying for their conversion. This is what it's all about. Anytime that we poison ourselves with hatred or a call for someone else's death, we've really poisoned our own faith and our own relationship with God.
Well, thank you, Bishop. We are going to take a short break, and when we return, we will discuss the rest of the gospel. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
Praying together. Praying as a family. That's the title of the second annual Women's Day Retreat at the Pax Christi Liturgical Retreat Center on Saturday, September 21st, from 9 till 3. Bring your sisters in Christ for a day to reconnect, rest, and renew at the Retreat Center, 4601 Cal Allen Drive in Corpus Christi. For complete details, including registration, information, and an itinerary, please call 361-241-5479. Also, visit Pax Christi Sisters, cc.org.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Well, Bishop, at the beginning of the program, you read the first part of Luke's Gospel, and now the second part is the parable that is so familiar to so many of us. I think you're going to read that right now.
Right. So this chapter 15 has these three parables, so let's go to the one that is, as you said, perhaps most familiar to all of us. After he spoke of the lost sheep and the shepherd looking for that lost sheep, he also spoke of the woman who had 10 coins and searched the house for them. And so now we come to the third one, which is the man with two sons. A man had two sons, and the younger son said to his father, "Father, give me the share of your estate that should come to me." So the father divided the property between them. After a few days, the younger son collected all his belongings and set off to a distant country, where he squandered his inheritance on a life of dissipation. When he had freely spent everything, a severe famine struck that country, and he found himself in dire need. So he hired himself out to one of the local citizens, who sent him to his farm to tend the swine. And he longed to eat his fill of the pods on which the swine fed, but no one gave him anything. Coming to his senses, he thought, "How many of my father's hired workers have more than enough food to eat, but here I am dying from hunger. I shall get up and go to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as you would one of your hired workers.' So he got up and went back to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son.' But his father ordered the servants, 'Quickly, bring the finest robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Take the fatted calf and slaughter it. Then let us celebrate with a great feast, because this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found.' Then the celebration began. Now the older son, who had been out in the field and on his way back, as he neared the house, he heard the sound of music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what this might mean. The servant said to him, 'Your brother has returned, and your father has slaughtered the fatted calf, because he has him back safe and sound.' He became angry, and when he refused to enter the house, his father came out and pleaded with him. He said to his father in reply, 'Look, all these years I served you, and not once did I disobey your orders. Yet you have never given me even a young goat to feast on with my friends. But when your son returns, who swallowed up all your property with prostitutes, for him you slaughtered the fatted calf.' And he said to him, 'My son, you are here with me always. Everything I have is yours. But now we must celebrate and rejoice, because your brother was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found.'"
Well, these are three beautiful parables, the two shorter ones and then the longer one about the prodigal son, which we had heard before, and the last time we heard about it was during Lent.
Mm-hmm. You know, these are three parables that we all know very, very well. In fact, some scripture scholars say it's the gospel within the gospel, because they're so central to who God is and who we are, and sometimes, unfortunately, to how we act. So, and I would like to exhort people today, as you listen to this gospel account, whether it's the long version, which I read, or the short, to listen to it at Mass and whenever you read it, not with the attitude, well, I've heard this before, I know how it ends, as though it's a story. We need to listen to it with our heart and to see where I am. As I was reading it now, I can, you know, focus on certain situations that I'm dealing with now. And we need to always bring ourselves and bring our life into these stories as they're being read. But if we're only receiving them with our mind and thinking, well, I've already heard this before, and we miss the point. The gospel is from the book of Hebrews, tells us it's alive and active. And let that gospel, these three parables, be alive and active in your life today as you listen to them at Mass. The contrast here in each of these three parables is very striking. The total openness and mercy of the Father, of a community that rejoices with the return of a lost sheep, the woman who finds a lost coin, a very simple parable, but lost what is needed in life, and now a father. And so all of these are truly symbols, or truly parables of the beauty of being lost, or in our terms, being a sinner, but returning. And that's the journey of every man and every woman, of every child. There is no journey away from God that does not deserve the journey back home. And as disciples of the Lord, it's our responsibility to be with people on that journey back, and to be, as I said before, conduits of God's mercy, because we have experienced mercy. And how many, I mean, we pray it every day in the Our Father, forgive us as we forgive. And so we're part of this whole picture here. There's many aspects of the stories, the three stories, where we can maybe put ourselves into. Are we that good shepherd that is able to go, or are we the lost sheep maybe?
Well, and I think for an example also, we look at the older son who was shocked that his father would do this with the son that went away, and he referred to him as a sinner, and he says to his father, "Not once did I disobey your orders."
Self-justification.
He was the perfect son.
Right.
Perfect son. So he doesn't realize that he needs his father's mercy also.
And that's something that, as I said earlier at the beginning of the program, that's something that we all, in one way or another, we try to justify ourselves. But, you know, in many ways, that's probably the first sign of guilt when I'm trying to justify myself. Why I'm better, why I'm the best. And there's the greater sin there of pride, which is what creates the barriers that I spoke of at the very beginning, with these scribes and Pharisees who were more in the line of ostracizing, not trusting, no building of relationships, not inviting, not being a part of, creating these barriers. And that's the fruit of pride. And not humility, because humility is what brings us to place ourselves in front of God as one of His beautiful children in creation, and then to bring that same mercy and love to others, no matter who they are, no matter who they are.
Well, I mentioned in the beginning that I had been looking at the book from William Barclay, and he had a hymn by F.W. Faber, and if I could, I'd like to, because to me, it was a wonderful poem that said, "Souls of men, why will ye scatter like a crowd of frightened sheep? Foolish hearts, why will ye wander from a love so true and deep? Was there ever kindest shepherd, half so gentle, half so sweet, as the Savior who would have us come and gather around his feet? For the love of God is broader than the measure of man's mind, and the heart of the Eternal is most wonderfully kind."
Very nice.
That is a wonderful hymn.
Yeah. That's, and you know, I when you speak of that as a hymn and a poem, I mean, how many hymns do we sing at Mass? And sometimes that's prayer.
It is.
Now that you brought it up, I'll...
Well, it is prayer.
But, you know, sometimes we just sing it. Okay, I hope we're not, you know, many times, well, I hope we're not going to sing the whole thing. You know, we get into this, but it's prayer. And just as you're reading that, I thought, how many beautiful images that kind of a poem or that kind of a hymn that we sing at church or we may sing in our homes, how much that can really enliven our heart to gather around Jesus just in that moment, singing that kind of hymn about his mercy, about his welcome back. And this is what it really means to be a child of God, because as the image of heaven is, there'll be much singing and dancing and rejoicing in heaven, so we better learn to sing now.
And it doesn't matter what your voice is.
No. my dad, we used to always laugh because we knew he loved to sing, especially at church, and we'd all try to get to the other end of the pew because we didn't want to be around him, but he sang. He loved to sing, and I think that's something that all of us should, it really enlivens the heart, and just to have a mental block even against something like that is maybe impoverishing us in our spiritual life. So let's all sing this Sunday with all of our hearts.
Well, God gave us our voices.
That's right.
Some are better
than others.
Use them
well. Use them well, yeah. So, you know, I think this is just a wonderful Sunday to really image this merciful and open love of God for every human being. And this is where our mind, especially in the new evangelization, in the efforts that our present Pope is asking us to reach out, it really expands our minds. Who is God? Is God the one, at least in my mind, that I image as the one who is judging and pointing fingers and saying they're not doing the right thing, et cetera, et cetera? Because if that's what I'm doing toward any person, then that's the image I have of God. I'm reflecting who God is in my life, pointing fingers, judging, ostracizing. On the other hand, this is the new image that Jesus wanted to bring to us, that God is the one who rejoices over every sinner who returns and returns to him. That is the gospel that we want to proclaim, and that is the gospel that Jesus came to bring us.
It's beautiful, Bishop. Thank you very much. Well, if you could close our session this morning with a prayer and a blessing.
Let us pray. Look upon us, O God, creator and ruler of all things, and that we may feel the working of your mercy. Grant that we may serve you with all our heart, through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.